kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And let's turn now to Jesus, as that song has been telling us. Father, we thank you that we look away from this world. We look away from ourselves and we look unto Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. Father, grant that you would bless us with your presence, with your word, healing and deliverance. Father, when we come into your presence, we are never the same. And I pray that, Lord, we will be touched indeed in those areas, and particularly in the heart, where you know those things that are within us. So we thank you for this time, Lord, now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, as usual, I've got a title for us to consider. And today we're calling this teaching, Outwardly, We Don't Know Where We're Going. Outwardly, we don't know where we are going. Most of you have been out today, or some of you will be going out later on, or whatever it would be. But you don't really know exactly where you're going. You don't know who you are going to meet. You don't know what your journey may entail. There are so many things that we actually don't know. And that is how God wants us to walk with him. We become very depressed and disillusioned when we're trying to plan our life, our future, with God, and you never can, and don't even attempt or try it, because God has saved us not only by his grace and mercy, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is the principle that is going to run in your life and my life every day, every second, while we walk with the Lord in this world. And turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, you know this story very well. But we know, particularly in this chapter of Hebrews, where it speaks of all the saints who walked with God. And here it speaks of faithful Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He hears the voice of God. God says, pack your bags, take your family, and I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to show you a place, a true home, a true dwelling place. And on just that, he forsook all and took with him all his family, all his goods, all his livestock, and he began to sojourn and walk with God. He doesn't raise any questions. He doesn't say to the Lord, well, Lord, I'd like a bit more as to what this entails. I'd like to know what we're going to encompass and what route you're going to take me. He didn't have any sat-nav in which to sit for his journey. Not at all. He heard the voice of God, and that was enough. And you may say to me, well, I don't hear the voice of God like Abraham did. Yes, you do. You hold 66 books in your hand. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. And that's why faith comes as we hear, we read this word. And it says that he went By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. We are called of the same promise. Why is it a promise? The promise here is that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you every step that you take. I will be closer to you than you ever will be even to me. And I will work with you and give you that confidence that you can walk by faith and totally trust me. That's what he's saying. He's saying all the rest of them, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs, all heirs with the same promise. And what is the promise? Well, we see the promise in the Word of God. We've been talking recently about these promises again, and how these promises cleanse us and keep us in the presence of God, so that we can receive the blessings of these promises that he made to Abraham, that he's made to you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change. And when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your day has been or whatever the experience, God doesn't change. And that's why outwardly we don't know where we are going. But one thing we do know is we are walking this day with Almighty God. I am not on my own. And sometimes we forget that simple principle, because we can get so involved with things that we forget that God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that I walk in his presence as he walks with me. That is what covenant is about. Covenant is about two people that agree to walk together in love, in unity and oneness. And of course, we see that Christ has done that now with his church, his body, Ephesians, as you read it. So, is this your experience? You see, there is no logic or explanation about any of this. None of it makes any sense. You can't say to a Christian, oh, what are you doing? There's only one thing that they are doing, and that's walking with the Lord this day. And one of the hardest questions in ministry is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, brothers and sisters, as you walk with the Lord? What are your plans? What are your future? What ideas have you got? You don't have any. Or at least you shouldn't have, if you're walking with God. Each day is a blessing with the Lord. And we watch what unfolds. And that's why you see, nothing should take us by surprise. And yet we still so easily get knocked off our spiritual perch, don't we? When we hear bad news or something's happening or we can't explain it. It shouldn't take us by surprise. See, the only question you can say is, God knows. God knows everything. God knows about my life, my walk with him. And I trust him for this day. And we don't know what God is going to do next week, next month, next year, if he tarries. And thank God that we don't. I don't want to know in a month's time. I don't want to know in 6 months' time All I want to know is that I walk this day, this moment with the Lord. I never know how a meeting is going to go when we get together. I don't really know what God is going to say in the Word. All I know is I get prayed up, praying in the Spirit, birthing it through, and God knows the rest. And that's why each day should be a going out in faith, not staying in, or retracting, or inward looking, looking to yourself. The idea of our faith walk is it's a going out. It's looking away from self, circumstances, those things that are around me, the lies of the enemy, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. That is how we are to walk. It's an outward looking expression. And that's why we take no thought for any of these things. Let's remind ourselves again, Matthew 6. Let's look at verse 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And this should deal with anxiety, worries, and all those things that the world is so caught up with. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So he's going right to the heart, which is you, who's made and created in his image. And what it clearly reveals as well is that you are not a mistake. You are God's creation, and he's chosen to love you. And he's jealous now over you. And he is not going to share you or share his love with you with anyone else. That's what he's meaning here. Look at the birds of the air, for neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He's making a point there of your value to him in his sight. And the value is, as you look to the cross, to Calvary, what it cost him to redeem you and I. That is the value set upon your life. Which of you, by worry, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they need neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he's turning to nature now. How nature, how he provides, how he creates, how he can create beauty. And so on. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he's going right to the root of the problem, which he always does. We don't always believe as we should. We think we are, but we're not. Therefore, do not worry. How many times has he said that? I think about three times he's brought that up. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry, here it is again, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, the emphasis and why he keeps bringing the word worry or anxiety up is so that you can fulfill verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He's trying to remove hindrances to your faith that is stopping you from seeking and being blessed by whose kingdom? His kingdom. His dominion. What is in heaven? That is the Lord's prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are above. You are seated with him in heavenly places. That is where your eternity is going to be, your eternal dwelling. And we have a taste of it now. He blesses what is in the kingdom of God to us even now. And he's showing in these verses to remove the hindrances to that, which are everyday mundane things, provisions, food, clothes, paying the bills, all those things that so can consume our time, our energies, from what? Seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Can you not see that verse 33 is supernatural? It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you're facing, or unpaid bills, or putting food on the table, or clothing the children, or all those things that we face day after day. He says, if you put me first, the kingdom, your walk, everything else will be supernatural. It will be added. And don't try and work it out how it is. It will be there. That meal on the table will be there. What clothing you need that's worn out will be there. What bills that keep coming up, and boy, are they coming up all right, will be there. He doesn't want you to try and work it out because it's supernatural. He says, don't worry, put me first. In walk, relationship, and everything else will be added. And that is going to take a huge weight and anxiety off your shoulders. Because the devil wants to grip you and hold you in worry and anxiety and fear. And it weighs you down. It saps you of your joy. It's like a spiritual cancer. And he's saying, put first the kingdom. That is the Lord. That is his kingdom. Not your kingdom, the kingdom of self, your circumstances, or what you're experiencing. Do you know that God even says that to somebody who could be in prison? He was saying it to the Apostle Paul. And he was able to write those letters in fetters, in chains, to the churches, encouraging them in the faith. Why? Because he was putting first the kingdom of God. And that is why the Lord brings up four times, worry will do it. Anxiety will hinder all of this. And where does that come from? It comes from the pit, the enemy himself. And that is why each day we go out by faith, not knowing what we're going to meet or what's going to happen or what is the situation, but knowing that God is with me. That is how we're to walk, brothers and sisters. And God is going to keep working and working and working with you until you get it. And he's going to keep saying the same thing to us till we get it, because he wants us to move into this and experience this. How much more now, as we're seeing things getting harder, the price of everything now going through the roof? How much more is this important to us? What is it saying, James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15? James 4 and verses 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He's saying, in other words, when you plan your life, that is a sign of pride, and you will boast about it. That's what we do. That's what people do who organize everything. Look what I have done. Aren't I clever? All that I planned, all that I worked for has achieved, has happened. And what does he call that? He says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He's saying, if the Lord wills, the Lord knows all things. And that is how we are to walk. Because otherwise you will not understand what it is and how it is to walk by faith and not by sight. Because what you're doing here is you're asking God what he's going to do. And God doesn't answer, but you have decided, you've heard from the Lord, and you're going to plan. You see, these people that plan their lives, who call themselves Christians, oh, the Lord show me this, and the Lord show me to do that, and so forth. He hasn't. It's in their heart, it's what they want to do. Now, I'm not saying that God can't speak, and he does, but the point is, it's you trying to do it in your strength, and that's why it fails. It doesn't work. This is why God has had to knock down so many things in your life. And there are times when it looks as though he's our enemy. He doesn't want to bless us. He's turned his back on us. It's not that at all. He's knocking things down in your life because you are trying to build. You want to be in control, and he's not going to let you. And it will appear for a season of failure until he gets our attention. And then we realize, no, he doesn't want me walking independently of him. I'm in covenant with him, relationship with him. And that's why God will never tell you. And that's why he forbids people to go to fortune tellers to find out their life for what's going to lie ahead. It's a sin. All God will do is he'll reveal to us who he is and what he's capable of doing. And what is he capable of doing? It's all in the word of God here, the promises of God. And that's all he's going to tell you. And the rest of it, you believe and you take by faith. You see, our lives should in many ways be a continual going out. In everything. The amazing thing about these promises, as we believe and confess them, there's always a sense of a future, a waiting, an expectation. That so often is with God and his word and his promises. As we ask in faith, believing, it causes us to look out, to watch, to be ready, to observe. And that's how always the Christian walk should be. And no finer way than when we look to the Lord each day. It's an outward looking. Why is that so important? Because it stops us from looking to self and to circumstances, which is always contrary. It will always be negative. The moment you take your eyes off the Lord and off the promises of God and the walk that he has for you, it will be negative. And it will open the door to anxiety and fear and depression and all those things that sadly a lot of professing Christians suffer with. And you see, like all things with faith, it has to be worked on. And it starts by not knowing where you're going. There's no finer way for God to work on our faith than just to believe upon these promises and not try and work it out. That is the best thing. And that causes you to be able to rest in the Lord. And each day, as you're outwardly looking and walking with God, each day, this could be the day. This will be the day that the Lord is going to walk past and touch me and raise me up and heal me and bless me and provide. You just don't know. But not only that, above, it starts to make our walk interesting. Has your walk become a bit stale recently? Have you become a bit down and a bit fed up and just nothing seems to be happening? It's the same old thing every day. That could be your problem. You've lost that walking out this day with the Lord. And with that expectancy, looking, waiting, watching to see what God is going to do today. That's why we're able to praise him. That's why the joy of the Lord is our strength. All of that is entailed with him as we walk each day. And you don't have to explain, you don't have to justify when it's faith. You don't know where it's going. You don't know when it's going to come. All you know is God is faithful. God has said it in the word of God, and that settles it. I don't need to keep having proof all the time. I don't need keeping going to God and asking just in case he didn't hear for the first time, which we do. No, we don't. You don't have to explain any of this. You don't have to explain it to anyone else why you're believing and confessing and holding on to the promises of God. It's between you and the Lord. And there will come a time when it's manifested that you will be able to give that testimony of the Lord's faithfulness and how he blessed and so on. Did you know that we are actually building for God, but we don't always necessarily see the finished result until possibly years later? Did you know the church, when it was formed in the upper room at Pentecost, when it was visibly seen, 2,000 years ago, God has been building his church. And at times it has looked negative. At times it has looked as though very few ever want to be part of it. But that is still the building blocks that God uses. And it is exactly the same with your life. It's the same with FGA. God is building. And this building is achieved by walking with the Lord. Abraham, a man of faith, walked with God, and look how God built in his faith as he walked with the Lord. Yes, he was tested. Yes, he believed for a son, an heir. God tested him by offering up Isaac, and he knew that God would provide. His faith was tested at times. He didn't know that that was going to happen, but he had learnt that he walks each day by faith with God and whatever is entailed. And that is what you do. And sometimes God is going to test your faith. And he's going to see, are you willing to put it on the altar? Are you willing to give it up? He does all of that. He'll do it. This is why so often we don't receive the manifestation straight away, because he's watching to see if we are willing to continue to walk with him. You see. And then he blesses, doesn't he? When you've run the course, when your faith has been perfected, it's reached that perfection that gives glory to God, then the manifestations start to come. This is how he works. And these are the building blocks in our lives. And those building blocks are steps of faith, or they can be called plateaus. It's like walking up stairs. You go from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And after you have walked 100 steps or 150 steps, what starts to happen at times? You start to tire. The legs can start to hurt. And God says, don't stop. There's still more steps to climb. I can't, Lord. I've got no more strength. Then draw it from me, God says. And then when you trust him, God is putting that strength into your legs, your feet, to continue to climb those stairs until it's accomplished. That's often how this faith walk works. It's called coming to your end, when nothing's left anymore in you. And then the power of God, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, is the same power that works now in you, raising you up in his strength and might and dominion. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is how he does it. So just to recap what we've been looking at and talking about, not knowing where we go, it stops you from planning and it stops you from scheming. And we mustn't do it, because it can result in sin. So that is the first thing to consider. And the second thing is, our testimony is all about God and not yourself, or your achievements, or what you have done. And that will stop planning and scheming. And that will give you a testimony that will glorify God. And that will show the world that you walk by faith, that your life is supernatural. You're not like ordinary people. You're not like the next door neighbours I know. There is something so different about you. There's a provision. There's something that protects you, looks after you, feeds you. There's a peace about you. That is what the world sees. They may not always say it, but that is what they're seeing. And even when you go down or you are attacked or knocked down, They see you rise up. What is it that causes you to rise up? It's the power of God, you see. And thirdly, it throws you on his mercy and his grace, because you're going to miss it at times. And we do, until we get it. And very often we miss it is when we are planning and we are scheming and we are trying to be in control. And this is where he works the deliverance. And many, many times that deliverance is actually merely letting go. That brings the deliverance. Let go of those fears, those anxieties, those what if, how long, Lord, when, Lord, all of it, let it go. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, the word of God says. You're to throw it on him, cast it on him, and leave it there. I can't deal with this anxiety anymore. I cannot deal with this fear anymore, this confusion. You see, God's waiting to hear that from some of us, so that we can then have that peace, that rest in him, because that's where faith always works. Faith is a rest. And faith needs those conditions of rest in which to work, not doubting, but praising and thanking the Lord that it is done. Of course, all of this is supernatural. This cannot be achieved and done in our strength. It's as we trust him and we do exactly what he says, as we read back in Matthew 6, 25, 34. You put that into practice and you will see all the rest being added to you. That, I believe, is the oil of anointing. That is what the wise virgins have in their vessels. The anointing, it's faith, it's a rest. And that enables the wise virgins to be able to make themselves ready for marriage, for the bridegroom. You see, if you are full of anxiety and fear and confusion, you cannot make yourself ready. Those are not the conditions to get yourself ready to be able to have relationship with your future husband. Jesus Christ himself. You make time for him. You have time for fellowship, for that work of change, to get that extra vessel of oil, the oil of anointing. And I believe the deeper life in the spirit, the walk of faith, is exactly that. That, if you like, is the vision, the hope that is set within us. And that's why we look up as our redemption draws near. We press in beyond the veil. He calls us to be overcomers. Overcoming what? All of these things in the world that try to take our attention and turn our eyes away from the Lord. That is what we overcome. Don't fight the Lord anymore. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Just simply yield to him and let him do that work, and just rest upon these promises, what he has promised to give you even in this life. Just rest on it and take it each day, and tomorrow could well be your day. That is what it is by walking by faith.
Constancy, follow the master.